Okay, I have chosen a mitzvah that is alluded to in this coming week's Sedra, and I thought it would be of interest to you to hear the details of this mitzvah. The mitzvah is the meal that is served by a chasana and the laws of Sheva Brachos, what they are and when you say them and what they mean or whatever. Okay. Some say that the meal at a wedding is a definite mandatory thing. You must accompany the wedding with a meal. And others say that it is not something that is mandatory, and if both sides want to forego it, it's not a chiyuv to have dafka chasna meal. The minig is for sure to have a meal by a wedding. Barovam hadras melech, the more people, the bigger the mitzvah. We'll see that that has its limitations too. However, at least a minyan should be there, but if there isn't, that is not ma'akev. You could have a chasna meal even with less than a minyan. The meal should consist of bread, meat, wine, and should be of a caliber even greater than a yontif meal. There was a takon in the time of Chazal, which doesn't apply anymore because nobody really makes a difference to anybody. But in the time of Chazal, they made a takon that you had to be involved in preparing this meal for 3 days. And that was considered covered for the kallah, that she was worth 3 days' preparation. Today, nobody really is makbid on that, and since the whole takana was made only for the sake of the honor of Jewish women, and today nobody really cares if you prepare 3 days or 1 day or whatever, and the preparations are different kinds of preparations, that halacha doesn't apply. In many places, even today, there were various enactments made by the rabbis of that place to limit the extravagance of weddings and the wedding suda. There were different takanas of how many people you could invite and how close within the family they had to be, so people would not go out of their way to make weddings that were so gala that they couldn't afford to pay for them, or could only afford to pay for them and nothing else after the wedding. Huh? Right. Exactly. There's also a limit on what you can serve and whatever. Okay, but this is not something new. This is something that's been going on throughout history. Chazal say, over behekolo. Somebody who enjoys the meal of a chosan and does not make him happy, doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, he transgresses five kolos, which is called sasam, they're called simcha, called chosan, they're called kala. He negates those voices. Okay, it would seem from there that the responsibility of making this meal lies on the chosan and his family. Okay, and therefore there were times when the minig was that the kala's family bedafka made this meal, in order that we shouldn't have this curse apply that somebody who enjoys the chosan's meal and doesn't make him happy, right, transgresses these things. So it's not the chosan's meal anymore. It's kala's meal. Today, the minig pretty much is that both sides chip in and pay for the meal equally. The chosan and kala sit at the head table by this meal, right? If there are two different head tables, one head table, whatever, the chosan and kala sit at the head table. The minig is that there should be some divrei Torah said at this meal in Chutz Laaretz, especially in England. This is the custom that they speak in the middle of a chasana meal. In America also, in some places here, I rarely hear people speak in the middle of a chasana. I've been at a few chasanas where either I spoke or I heard other people speak. I was once at a chasana in Bnei Brak where a shach zatzal spoke for about 45 minutes in the middle of the chasana. It's a minig to invite poor people to enjoy this meal also, like any Suda's mitzvah. And if you're invited to a chasana and you don't attend, that also is a very negative thing. However, invitation over here means that you're invited personally, not just with an invitation in the mail. If you get an invitation in the mail, people assume that not everybody's going to come. They just send out the invitation to let you know they're getting married. and unless you get a personal, individual invitation, this halacha doesn't apply. There's a mitzvah at the meal to be mesameach chasan v'kala. That I'm not going to go into. The Gemara says ketzad meraktin lifnei hakala. How do you dance in front of the kala? It's not an Arthur Murray explanation of how you dance. It means what do you say when you're dancing? That how you dance shows how much you really mean what you're saying. And the mitzvah of simchas chasan v'kala is basically to make the chasan feel that his kala is someone special. So the kala gets joy because her husband's happy. And the chasan gets his joy by knowing that he made a great choice in the kala. So you praise the kala to the chasan, and that way you fulfill simchas chasan and kala. Okay, the Sheva Brachas. That's the main topic of this thing. Okay, the Sheva Brachas, seven special brachas that are said at meals that are made in honor of the Chasan and Kala with the qualifications that we're going to mention, are done the entire 7 days from the Chuppah. 7 days are counted from the time the Chasan and Kala come to the Chuppah. So if they come at night, then you have 7 full days. That night, the next day is 1 day, and then it's on another 6 days till Shkia, till sunset of the 7th day. It doesn't go from the moment they go into the chuppah, 24 hours, 7 24-hour periods. It's a day, meaning a night and a day. So if the chuppah was 10 minutes before Shkia, then you have 10 minutes more to make that day, and you have 6 more days. So it goes from the time they go to the chuppah, okay, and if on the 7th day you have a meal, and the daytime of the 7th day ends the 7th day, and the meal ends after Shkia, you don't say Sheva Brachas anymore. Even though most of the meal and all the meal was eaten before Shkia, if it's after Shkia, you don't say Sheva Brachas anymore. You need a minyan. Without a minyan, you don't say Sheva Brachas. We'll see that there is a bracha you could say without a minyan, but not Sheva Brachas. And the chasan counts as a minyan too. He can count as part of the minyan. You have 9 people plus the chasan counts as a minyan. 7 of those people have to eat bread, and 3 of them have to eat something. Okay, so you're benching with a minyan, saying Elokeinu, and that's the minimum for, there are other opinions, this is the halacha, this is the minig, that 7 of the people who come to Sheva Brachos have to eat bread, 3 of them can eat whatever else, and then you can say Sheva Brachos. That is, there are differences of opinion in halacha, but that's pretty much the accepted opinion. Yeah, the other ones can eat anything. No. Okay, the brachas are only made when you eat bread, the way we said, or you made a meal on mezonos. Then it's like bread. Right? You're koveya sud, you washed, you made a motzi on the mezonos. That's called bread already. It has to be a suda that's made specially for the chasan and kala. Okay? But if you're just eating lunch and the chasan and kala happen to be there, you don't say sheva brachas, unless it's made specifically for the chasan kala. However, some people hold that if the meal is just a regular meal, it's made for another purpose, but you add something for the sake of the chasan kala, that's also called a meal that's made special for the chasan kala, since part of it was for the chasan kala, you could say sheva brachas. By svardim, the sheva brachas are only said if the sheva brachas is held either in the home of the chasan kala, right, or in a place that is designated that's their place for the 7 days of the Mishnah. But if you make it somewhere out of that, they don't say Sheva Brachas. By Ashkenazim, anywhere you have the Suda, if it's made for the Chasan and Kala, you say Sheva Brachas. Okay. However, even by Ashkenazim, there are places where even if you have a meal that is for the sake of the Chasan and Kala, but it's not a place that is kavua, like in an airplane, right? On a train, in a car, right? All those places, in a bus. You can't make a Sheva Brachas in a bus while you're traveling. It's not a makom kavua. That's not a place for Sheva Brachas. But if you're on a ship, there you're there for days and days, there you can make a Sheva Brachas on a ship also. Okay, in order to say Sheva Brachas at the first meal, following the chasana, which is the chasana meal, okay, you don't need any new people there, obviously, right? You make the Sheva Brachos no matter what. Now, by other meals, every time after the original chasana meal, you have to have panim chadashos. You have to have somebody new there that wasn't there before. Now, wasn't there means he was not at any, what's it called, suda before this. Okay? If he was at the chuppah, okay? But he wasn't at the meal. He attended the chasana. He was at the chuppah, but he wasn't at the meal, right? Then there's a machlokas, and the minig is to consider a person like that panim chadashos. So if somebody never was at a chasana meal, he wasn't at the chasana meal, but he was at the wedding, he can still be considered panim chadashos. If he was at the meal, even if he didn't eat a thing, right, even if he only came at the end and heard the Sheva Brachas, he's not panim chadashos. And even if he was there and ate and didn't stay for the Sheva Brachas, also not panim chadashos. If he was at any part of the of any previous meal, then he can't be a panim chadashos. Some say that it has to be people, important people. No, not people, one person. It has to be an important person who would add simcha to the chasan and kala by their being there. But the minig is you don't need that, and anybody can count, right? Even, what's it called, family members who didn't make it to the wedding, or even the waiter can be panim chadashos. A katan, a woman, can't be panim chadashos. It has to be somebody who could count for the minyan of the Sheva Brachos. The person who is the panim chadashos, the chatchila, has to eat bread. Okay, lechol apachos, he has to eat something, right? And however, the minig is that even if he ate nothing, he just came to be there, right? It's okay. Yes and no. Okay. Okay, let me just make one thing clear, which I don't have written down here. You don't have to have Sheva Brachas every day. You don't have to have Sheva Brachas at all. But there's an inyan to do it, right? But there's no halacha that you must make sure that you have seven Sheva Brachas. Okay? Works out, works out. Doesn't work out. It's not proper, though, for the Chassan colleges to leave, right, and have no Sheva Brachas. I'll go on a secular kind of honeymoon. That's really not proper, but it's not halachically proscribed that you must have Sheva Brachas, whatever, every single day, even if it's, you're miserable and you really, what's it called, don't want these Sheva Brachas because you're tired or whatever. You don't have to have Sheva Brachas every day. Okay, now, Shabbos and Yontif, you don't need Panim Chadashos. That applies to the Friday night meal, or the Yontif night meal, and the first Shabbos morning meal, and Yontif morning meal. Shalosh Shudis, okay, there are different of opinions in halacha. Some say Shalosh Shudis you need panim chadashos. That's pretty much how the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch says. The minig is to say Sheva Brachas by Shalosh Shudis, even if there isn't panim chadashos, but then they make it a point to say at least some Divrei Torah. Because some hold that if you don't have panim chadashos, but you say Divrei Torah at Shalosh Shudis, that's good enough. That doesn't help for other times. Okay. In any case, some hold that you never say Sheva Brachos Bichlal at Shalosh Shudis, even with Panim Chadashos. I surely don't hold like that, but that's an opinion. In Chutz La'aretz, Yontif Sheni also doesn't need Panim Chadashos, same way as Yontif Rishon. And Purim, if you have a Sheva Brachos on Purim, you don't need Panim Chadashos. Then probably everybody's Panim Chadashos on Purim. Chol HaMoed is a machlokas. If you make a Sheva Brachos during Chol HaMoed, whether you need Panim Chadashos or not. And Chanukah for sure does not count as Panim Chadashos. You need Panim Chadashos on Chanukah also. It adds to the Simcha. In other words, it's not just, you know, the same thing again. There's something new, so there's a reason now to make those seven Brachos again. Right. That's what we say. Some people say you need somebody that adds to the Simcha. But anybody who's there, a new face, so for them, it's a new simcha. For them, you make the brach. What? Yeah, but since what's it called? It's a Yontif Suda, and you added something for the Chasam Kala, or you made the Suda around them too. You're going to have the Suda anyway, but it's this Suda's Yontif, you're dedicating to the Chasam Kala or something. So you usually have to add something for the Suda. The Chasam and Kala have to be there in order to be, say, Sheva Brachos. You can't just have their pictures or whatever, or the wedding album. And they have to be there when you say Sheva Brachos. And they should have eaten bread. But they don't have to be there for the whole meal. They can come at the end of the meal, eat a little bit of bread, stay for Sheva Brachos, and you can make Sheva Brachos. They don't have to be there from beginning to end. Therefore, I really don't know why they wait to start the Sheva Brachos, who the Chasam Kala usually don't come till an hour late, after everybody else came an hour late to begin with, and they're just coming 2 hours late, right? And why they wait for the Chasam Kala, I'm not 100% sure, when they don't really have to be there the whole time. Okay. Like we said, the Chasam Kala have to be there for the Sheva Brachas. They don't have to be together, but the minig is to bring the Kala in by the men, and she, what's it called, is there when they say Sheva Brachas. In some places, the minig is not to bring her in by the men for Sheva Brachas, but she stands by the door, or she sits, whatever. She doesn't have to really be in the same room, Bechlal, as long as she's there. Around. Speak. Listen to the brachas. You can listen to you. Listen to the brachas to answer Amen. But there's no chiyuv for everybody to have to listen to the brachas. Unless, yes, it could be that the brachas are made for everybody who's there. So you're listening to them means that you yotzei the brachas. But usually if there's a minyan, not everybody has to, the dafka be yotzei. So you need to listen to the brachas. It's covered for the brachas. You don't have a chance to answer Amen. You can be listening.
You can have more than one in a day?
You can have, yeah. Make a meal that's specifically for the chassan bali, you can have 10. Okay, the chassan, the minig is the chassan does not get a bracha. In these things, he doesn't actually say the brachas. Other people say the brachas. The way you do this is you get two cups, two kosos, which are preferably as close to each other, in other words, similar to each other, and you fill them up with wine. Some have the minig of filling only the one that you're going to bench on first, and then the other one after benching. The more prevalent minhag to fill both of them up at the same time. You fill them up with wine, grape juice. If you don't have wine or grape juice, some other beverage that's called chemer medina. Beer would fit that. Whiskey would fit that. According to some, soda would even fit that. According to others, soda doesn't. What the criteria is, it's a drink that you drink, not just when you're thirsty, but you honor guests with that kind of drink. So it's not water, right? But anything that you would serve to guests, right, as not just a beverage to quench their thirst, but as something mechubid, like whiskey, beer, whatever. So some say soda is like that too. It depends really on the place. Some places, soda is a mashke that you would serve to honor guests, even if not thirsty. Another place, where Moshe Feinstein says, from his experience, that soda only serve, people only drink it if they're thirsty. They don't drink it stam as a kibud. Again, it depends on the place. Fruit juice would also go into that same shaila. Coffee, tea, milk, all same kinds of shailas. Okay. Now, the person who is benching, right, he benches on one of these kosos. And then when you say the other six brachas, you pass around the other kos, and the other six brachas are said on that. Now, by the wedding, the order of the brachas is different, not by the wedding, by the chuppah. It's different than it is by the meal. By the chuppah, you first say Bori Pri Hagafen, and then you follow it with the other six brachas. By the meals, you first say the first of the six brachas, Shako Bor Lechbodo, and then at the end, the person who bends says Bori Pri Hagafen. Now, one of the reasons for that is that if the person who benched would say Bori Pri Hagafen, right, immediately after benching, before the other six brachas, it would seem like that you're saying it on the bench, like you normally do. You normally bench and then make a Bori Pri Hagafen, so it would be no difference. So here you hold off the Bori Pri Hagafen until after the other six brachas, which makes it clear that the Bori Pri Hagafen is also going on those six brachas, not just on the bench. Okay. After the Sheva brachos are over, the person who benched makes a Bori Pri HaGofen. He drinks from that kos, and then they mix the, what's it called, the wine from that kos together with the other one. So you need an empty, a third empty kos to pour a little bit from this, a little bit from that, mix them together, and you have now three kosos that are filled with wine mixed from the two kosos. One you give to the chosen, one you give to the kala, and the other one, whoever wants to drink from it, can drink from it. In certain places where people are very cautious about hygiene, they're not interested in drinking what the person who drank Birkas HaMazon left over, so he pours from that cup into another cup, drinks that, and then takes from what's left and mixes it with the other ones. So this way, no one drank from anything that anybody else would have to drink from. On Motzei Shabbos, where the minig is not to make a bracha on the kos before Havdalah, in other words, on Shalosh Shuvos, if the meal goes into the night. So there are all different kind of customs, but this is the more prevalent custom. By people don't make a bracha on the wine before Havdalah, if it's already into the night. They save the kos for Havdalah. So here you make all six brachas, but not the Borei Pri HaGofen. And the person who benched should say Havdalah and make the Borei Pri HaGofen on that kos. And then they drink and they give to the Chasan Kala drink. In other words, no drinking is done before Havdalah. And after Havdalah, the bracha, and no Borei Pri HaGofen is made. The Borei Pri HaGofen is made as a part of Havdalah, and it counts for both things. Okay. Now, there is a situation that I'm sure many of you have never experienced. I don't remember myself ever experienced it. And that is where you only make one bracha and not all seven brachas. Okay? When there's no panim chadashas, then you don't make all seven brachas, but you make the last bracha, asher baruch. That bracha you do make. Okay? Or where there's no minyan. It's panim chadashas, but there's no minyan. Or there's no minyan and there's no panim chadashas. Doesn't make a difference. But there's a mezumen. You have three people. And the meal was for the sake of the chasan kala. It's not just your regular lunch, and the chasan kala happened to be eating there. Okay? But it was made for specifically for the chasan kala. Then, the last bracha, you say asher bar. By Ashkenazim, for this bracha also, you get two kosos. One for benching, and one for asher bara. By Sfardim, they only use, in this case, only one kos. The kos for benching, and they say the asher bara over that same kos. Here's another difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. If only the family is there, nobody else outside the family, and those are people regularly eat in that house normally. Family over here means people of that household. So there's nobody there special for the chasan and kala, just people be normally eating there, then you don't, according to Ashkenazim, you don't say asher bara. But Sfardim, they say it even in that situation. Okay, now, when you bench, you add something to the beginning of benching. Okay? You say, what's it called? Birshus, right? Regular benching. Rabbo Sain Nivorei, Hihi Shem Hashem Nivorach Me'atov Yarolam. And then you say, Birshus, Maronam, Rabbonam, Sain Nivorei, Shachal Nemishalo, or Nivorei Elokeinu, Shachal Nemishalo. By a Sheva Brachas, you add the word, Shahasimcha B'ma'onam. Right, Nivorech Elokeinu Shahasimcha b'ma'ono, who Simcha is in his dwelling, v'sho'achalnu mishalo, and that we ate from his bounty. So those words Simcha b'ma'ono is added, right? And there it's added even when you don't say Sheva Brachas. For instance, you had a meal on the seventh day in the daytime, but it stretched into the night. So you're not going to be saying Sheva Brachas now because the 7 days are over. But since it is benching for a Sheva Brachas type meal, a meal that was eaten basically during the 7 days, you do add Shasimcha b'ma'ono in the introduction to benching. Also, you add it, even if you're not benching with a minion and there won't be Sheva Brachas, you're just going to bench with three people and you're going to say Asher Bara, you also say Shasimcha b'ma'ono, and even if there's no Panim Chadoshos, right? So you're not going to say Sheva Brachas, but it is a festive meal, you do say Shasimcha b'ma'ono. But it's only if the Suda was to cover the Chasan Kala. Just a regular meal that a Chasan Kala happened to be eating at, right, then what's it called? Not, you don't say it. For instance, a meal that's a regular meal where a chassan kala happened to be there, you're eating in a restaurant. And the chassan kala happened to be eating in the restaurant, right? That's not a meal that was made for the chassan kala. Right? So then you none of these things apply. There's another minig that not everybody has. It's basically a minig of Ashkenazim and not Sfardim, to say Dvai Haser. Right? There's a piyut, a little poem, that you say in the beginning of Benji, called Dvai Haser. And even Ashkenazim, some say you only... Dvai Haser means God should take away all Dvai, all sorrow. Sorrow should be taken away. The Gam Charon and also anger. God should take away sorrow from us and anger against us. The Gam Charon, Va'oz Elaine, Bashir Yaron. And then even the mutes will shout in song, Bashir Yaron. Nechenu b'maglei tzedek, lead us in the paths of righteousness. She'ei shavas b'nei yishubrun, b'nei aron. Some say both, some say only one. And hear the prayers of the children of Yeshurun, meaning the Jewish people, and the children of Aaron, the Kohanim. She'ei shavas b'nei aron. And then they continue on the bench. Okay. So that some people say you don't say on Shabbos. You don't say about getting away sorrow on Shabbos, no sorrow on Shabbos anyway. And others have the minig even on Shabbos to say it. Okay? And you only say this when you're going to say the full Sheva Brachas. You don't say the full Sheva Brachas, then you don't say this. And some say that the person who's benching, when he says this, picks up the second kos, the one you're going to say the six brachas on. And then he picks up the original kos to finish the preface to benching. Benching. And others say that he just holds the same coast the whole time, and that's the prevalent. Okay. How about second marriage? Okay. When do you say Sheva Brachas or not? So if it is a second marriage for only the chassan or only the kala, then everything is as we said till now. 7 full days, Sheva Brachas, no difference. If either one has never been married before, then it's as if neither one has been married. However, if they both have been married before, either they're both divorcees, both widows, one's a widow, one's a divorcee, whatever the combination, but they've basically both been married before, then you only say Sheva Brachas at the first meal immediately after the chuppah. Okay? And it has to be on the same day as the chuppah. It has to be the first meal and the same day. If either of those conditions aren't there, you don't say Sheva Brachas, meaning the following. You had the chasana late afternoon, and the meal now is at night. You don't say Sheva Brachas, the same day. You had the chasana in the afternoon, in the early morning, and you had breakfast after the chasana, and you said Sheva Brachas. Now you want to have lunch. That's called after the chasana on the same day. Now you're having lunch, recovered the chasana kali, you don't say Sheva Brachas. It's not the first meal. Same day, not first meal. So it has to be both conditions. Okay, there are those that say that if it's the first meal and the chuppah goes into the chuppah was in the day and the meal's at night, you do say Sheva Brachas, but the minig is not to say it. If, however, the meal started in the day, you didn't start the meal at night, you started the meal in the day and it continued to the night, then you do say Sheva Brachas in this situation. Even though I told you that the seventh day, you started the meal in the daytime and you finished it at night, you don't say Sheva Brachas, right? But in this situation, where it started on the day of the chuppah and it went into the night, you do say Sheva Brachas. There's a situation where even on the day of the chuppah at the meal, it's possible you don't say Sheva Brachas. That's for a person who remarries his divorced wife. If you remarry a divorced wife, right, that's not considered something really new that you should have to say Sheva Brachas even at the meal. You only say Sheva Brachas under the chuppah, and after that, you don't say Sheva Brachas at all. Right, what do these brachas mean? We said already the first bracha by the chuppah is Bori Pri Hagafen, and that's in order that the brachas should be said on a kos. It's much more chashuv. It makes it more important to say the brachas over a cup of wine. So you say the Bori Pri Hagafen, and by the Suda, you say the Bori Pri Hagafen last, because there the what's it called, if you would say it first, it would look like you're just saying it on benching and not on the six brachas that are going to follow. The first bracha, Rashi says, has nothing to do with the couple getting married. Shahakol bara lichvodo. The first bracha is that God created everything for his honor. That bracha is said in honor of the people who came to the chasam. Shahakol bara lichvodo. God created everything for his honor. That is a bracha in honor of the guests. People who came to celebrate the chasana, you make a bracha for them. What's it called? A bracha in their honor. Thank you for coming. Right? Everything God created for his honor, and you came to honor the chasana kala, to honor God, welcome. That's what Rashi says. The Rama says that really the purpose of marriage is basically that to build the world, that to populate the world, because since God created everything for his honor, it's only honor if people are around to use those things. So therefore, this bracha specifically alludes to the whole concept of marriage, which enhances the fact that God created everything for his honor. So it does specifically, according to the Rama, have to do with the marriage, not just with the guests. The next bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, yotzer ha'adam. Here Rashi says also, this is not a bracha on the couple. This is a bracha, right, on the beginning creation of man before there was an idea of a couple, where man was male and female together. The original creation, man was either like a Siamese twin with male and female connected together, or like an hermaphrodite, a mixture of male and female in one body. And then God separated them. And the reason why God did it like that, why didn't he just create two separate human beings if that was his intention? Why did he create them together and then separate them? That each one should know that they came from a unity to begin with. No one should think that they're complete by themselves. That's why nobody thinks they're a God. Because every human being is a half a human being. So nobody could ever think that they're a God because they are imperfect and need another half to perfect them. They can't even continue their existence by themselves. They need somebody else. Okay. Next bracha, according to Rashi, is the first one that really has to do with the couple. That is the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Yotzar Es Ha'adam B'Tzalmo. God created man in his image, B'Tzelem Dmus Tavniso, in the image of his, the image that God prepared for him. Now some say what that means is the following. God created man in his image, meaning God's image. That's the original thing. And that means not physically. That means, he has free choice. He has intelligence. That's in God's image. Intelligence and free choice. That's like God. B'Tzelem Dmus Tavniso usually means that in addition, God created man in his own special physical image. That man has an image that's different than the animals. Man is not an animal, right? He's different than the animals in the way that he looks personally. So God made a special mold for man that's unique to man, and he also created him in God's image spiritually. What? A second, we'll see. And that image is pretty much, with various variations, similar to male and female. Then it says, V'hiskin lo mimenu, and from his own body, he prepared for him, binyan adead, a way of building posterity, right? Which means that now God took from that original body and made a woman, separate body, that together they create posterity. They reproduce, right? Baruch atah Hashem yotzer ha'adam. Same bracha again. We thank God for creating man. But now this is the development of creation. The first one was the original creation of male and female together. Then God separated them, created from that original thing a separate being that can become partners with that first body, right, and create posterity. So that's the first bracha. That's to do with the actual marriage and couple. Then the next bracha is doesn't start with Baruch Atah Hashem, because it follows a bracha, right? And therefore it doesn't have to start again with a bracha. Sos Tosis, the Sogel Ho'akara, may the barren woman rejoice. The Kibbutz Boneho L'socha B'Simcha, when her children are gathered together with her with great joy. Baruch Atah Hashem Esameach Tzion B'Boneho. Right? Blessed Hashem who makes rejoice Tzion, right, the Beis Hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael, Bivoneha with her children. This is a bracha on the fact that Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael today, the Beis Hamikdash, right, is barren because the Beis Hamikdash isn't built and all Jews don't live in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is not totally back in our hands. So the halacha is that we have to raise Yerushalayim aros simchaseinu, make mention of Yerushalayim whenever we have a simcha. So this is the mention. Before we really get down to the simcha of the chasana, first we mention the simcha of Yerushalayim. We hope that God will make the Jewish people rejoice by rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. And why it says Akara, why if she's an Akara, she never had children, how could she have her children return? But the idea is that on the one hand, Tzion, Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, has children. They're not there, they're in Galus. But she's an Akara, the Gemara says, that she never had children that would be sent to Gehenna. Those kind of children shouldn't have. Okay? Not permanently, at least. Klal Yisrael as people that call Yisrael Yeshel Chelek Mabo. Okay. Next bracha goes on the simcha of the Chasan and Kala, but the individual simcha of each one separately. Sameach tisamach reyim ho'avukuvim. We ask God to constantly, consistently make the Chasan and Kala happy, and they're referred to reyim ahuvim, the good friends, the beloved friends. Reya really means a peer. Someone, reya can mean someone who complements and supplements the other. So the Chasan and Kala complement and supplement each other. They're reya and they're beloved reyim. Okay? And we ask God to constantly make them happy. This lashon of sameach to samach always implies that it needs to be constantly, even if it has to happen 100 times, 1,000 times, it's not a one-time thing. We're asking God to make them happy throughout their life because there are going to be times when you're going to need a renewal of that incentive to make them happy because there are going to be things that happen to make them not happy. Just like God made his creation in Gan Eden happy when he married Adam and Chava together, he was basically the only one there with all the angels, and he made them happy, so should he make every Jewish couple happy. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. We bless Hashem who makes the Chasan happy and the Kala happy. Each one individually. Each one has their individual reasons to be happy. And the next bracha, which is the finale, and this is the one you make, sometimes alone. That's why it also starts with a Baruch, because sometimes it's said alone, and then you have to start it with Baruch. The ones before it are never said alone. They always follow another bracha before, so you don't start with the bracha. Now, what says that God made his creation, Adam and Eve, happy in Gan Eden, some say the idea is that there the happiness was complete because no one had any second thoughts and maybe if I would have waited, I would have found somebody better. There was nobody else around. So there was nobody to wait for. So they knew that this was their Bashir, right? All of them knew that there was nobody else besides Chava. And in fact, God made it a point to take him to every animal, right, and see if maybe, you know, that would be a good shidduch. And after he decided they didn't want elephants, aardvarks, or anything else, right, he realized that the only possibility was Chava. So he was happy with her. And Chava realized there's nobody else around. So she was happy with him. So we asked the Rabbanu Shlomo to make every Chasan and Kala just as happy, that no one should feel that maybe there was somebody better out there that I missed. Right? This is the one. Okay. What? Because it says, just like you made your original creation happy in Gan Eden, that happiness was that there was no other thoughts of anybody else. And the last baruch, Asher Bara Sasom V'Simcha, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam creates these emotions. Sason is more of a spiritual happiness, it's more the goal. Simcha is more the means, more physical. Chasson and Kala also are creations. Chasson and Kala are men and women. But in that state of being a Chasson and Kala, there's something special. That's a special emotion of feeling what it is to be a Chasson and feeling to be a Kala. It's something that God created that people, when they're in that situation, benefit from that feeling. Okay, Chasson, Simcha, Chasson, Kala, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, Ava, Viachva, Shalom, Vareus. These are all expressions of happiness and unity. Shalom, Reus is all different kinds of unity. This is the what the Chasson is all about. It's about happiness, and it's about happiness that leads to unity and camaraderie and whatever. And now we say, what's it called? Baruch Atah Hashem, Esameach Chasson Im HaKala. Now it's the simcha of the Chasson gets from the Kala, and the Kala gets from the Chasson. Not the simcha each one has individually. Now there's a simcha that each one derives from the other one. That's the bracha we make on here. There's another reason why the first bracha we said Chasson Vikala, Chasson and the Kala, and this one we say Chasson Im HaKala. Because until you say these seven brachas under the chuppah, the Chasson and Kala aren't allowed to live together. So when you've just said six of them, it's Chasson Vikala. They're separate. Now that we finished all seven, now it's Chasson Im HaKala. Now they can live together. So we represent that by the last bracha being the Chasson with the Kala. Now, what's it called, it's permitted. Before that, it was prohibited. That's an overview of what's entailed in the chapter.